Support for Art Talks comes from the Bucktown Center for the Arts at 225 East 2nd Street in downtown Davenport, with 16 independent studios and galleries offering original fine art and gift ideas in one location. Information is at bucktownarts.com. And from the Blue Cat Brew Pub, located in the district of Rock Island, serving food and handcrafted ales and lagers. And from Red Band Coffee Company, local roaster, offering individually prepared coffees, New Orleans-style iced coffee, and whole bean coffee at two locations in Davenport. Information is at redbandcoffee.com.
Well, hello and welcome. You've tuned into a conversation among artists. For the next hour, we'll be exploring the mind and the creativity of our guests. This is Art Talks, and I'm your host, Bruce Carter. Well, hello again and welcome. Louis Knutson is with us, also Morgan Renee and another member of his band. Louis Knutson is a soul, jazz, and pop musician who writes and performs his own songs. He's been writing and recording music for over 13 years. His influences are classical, hip-hop, folk, reggae, rock, world, and they all seem to come together. He likes Stevie Wonder, Tom Waits, Bob Dylan, Billy Joel, Keith Green, and Ben Folds, along with Etta James. He lived for 2 years in South Korea and absorbed and admired the culture of that country. This is his second album, I believe. He's played at the Mill, the Redstone Room, Rostock's. He's played in Chicago, in Germany, the Netherlands, England, Denmark, South Korea. And he's here with us, and Louis Knutson and Morgan Renee. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You sent me an inquiry letter note about saying, you know, I'm having an opening at the Redstone Room, a release party, and it would be nice if you wanted to hear my music. And so I clicked on your website and I went through it and I played it, just went rolled on through it while I was puttering around the house. And it was great. I liked it. The music was terrific. There's a tone about it. There's a beauty about it. There's a humanity. There's a taking from your own experiences and putting it into words and sound that I enjoyed very much. And so here we are. And I just foresee wonderful things happening to you and to your sound, to your music. Good luck with that.
Thank you. Louis,
how did you start off on this? How did you become a musician? Were you a music kid coming up? Or what was the story there?
I've always enjoyed music from a very young age. Actually, there's I don't remember this personally, but my mom tells me that when I was about two, I was at a family reunion of some kind, and we were at a hotel, and my extended family, everyone was at the pool in the hotel. And it's real reverby in there, and you know, sound's carrying. And I was 2 years old, and growing up in church, I knew a few hymns, and so I start singing at the top of my voice, "How great Thou art." My mom always teases me about this. I start, and everybody kind of turns around and goes, "What's this little kid doing singing so loud?" So I've always sang and enjoyed music. But to be honest, the personal interest that I took in it didn't really start until I was about 15 or 16. Until then, I was really interested in NBA basketball. I was just fixated on Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen and Kevin Garnett and all these guys. And I played basketball at Lincoln Park right up the hill all the time. And so that went on, and I was an avid basketball card collector. So I was even trading with people from different states and in different countries. And so that was really my main interest from about age like 10 to 15, 16. But then a friend of mine actually loaned me an electric guitar of his. And so I was like, oh, what if I played guitar? And then I went with some friends to Chicago one time, and I saw a concert by a guy named Phil Keaggy. He's been around for years. He's mostly known as part of the early contemporary Christian music movement with guys like Keith Green and Second Chapter of Acts, and you know, even like Amy Grant, Sandy Patty, that kind of stuff. He's known among them, but he's actually a phenomenal guitar player. He's one of the best in the world, and a lot of other much more well-known guitar players have really spoken very highly of him. And so I saw him, Phil Keaggy, playing solo with an acoustic guitar and a loop station, and it just blew my mind. He was using the loop station and laying down all these awesome chords, and then playing this just amazing. I mean, he just infusing so many styles of Latin and blues and rock and classic rock into just one package. He would, and incredible voice, very similar to Paul McCartney in his vocal tone. And the one thing I remember more than anything is he sang into the body of his guitar and he looped it. He's singing this song called "Sign Came Through the Window," and he picks up the guitar and he sings on and on and on and on, and that starts echoing it through the loop station into the whole house, on and on and on, and then he's playing over that, and I remember me and my friends were leaving that night after seeing him, and everyone was like, "Man, I never want to touch the guitar again," you know, but I thought. I want to play music, you know, and I don't know if I'll ever be this good, but he inspired me in a very, you know, that's when it happens. And that was the story of how I really got, you know, inspired to try to write and try to play and try to perform.
So many artists have had that exact same experience with watching somebody make a pot coming up on the wheel, of watching a movie and being completely blown away by the movie.
It's just that moment.
Or of seeing paintings in a museum and just going, falling to your knees. There's that one moment where they said, "I'm going to do that. That's what I want to do with my life." That's fabulous, and that's when it was for you.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So what did you do?
I started playing Creed songs, sadly enough. No, you got to start somewhere. you know, that's what was on the radio, and so I tuned down my guitar, acoustic guitar, to drop D like 10 million other kids my age were doing at that time. And you know, other stuff too. I was really into the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Under the Bridge. I learned that song and a couple other ones. And James Taylor, my dad had a book, you know, had music for Fire and Rain and Carolina on My Mind and a few other songs. So at that point, there was this electric guitar that a friend had loaned me, and that was cool because it was, you know, you could put it through the amplifier and get some distortion. But then there was this other Japanese-made acoustic that isn't, it's called a Yamaki. It's nothing valuable, but it sounds really nice, and I still actually play it to this day. And so I started learning a lot of those songs that were on the radio on that for a few years. And then eventually, probably when I was more like 18, 19, 20, started really trying to write music. But I started off just learning cover songs of people that I like. And also, obviously, of this artist, Phil Keaggy. I learned a significant number of his songs. However, because of the technical nature of his work, a lot of times it made it difficult to learn his songs as a beginner.
Hmm. Or do you think of yourself as a musician?
Yes. Full-time musician.
Interesting. So then after high school and after college, you came to the point of saying, I've either got to become a musician, or I got to do something else. Can you talk us through that?
Yeah. You know, it's something I think about a lot, and in some ways I think to myself, why didn't I, you know, I should have done this a lot earlier. I mean, you know, I'm 31 now, and I've been doing this full time for a year and a half. I feel like, oh man, I could have had a lot more momentum going into now if I had started earlier. But that just wasn't in the cards. I guess I spent, you know, most of my 20s with music as always a very serious hobby, always writing something, always recording something on a tape recorder, recording some idea, always, you know, in college I had all of my recording stuff in my room. The rooms were so cramped, I had to put all the stuff on top of my bed and use that as the board. And then I stuck my mattress underneath my bed and I would sleep under there. So I was kind of in this little music recording hovel. But So it was all, music was always a big piece of my life, and recording music and making CDs, CDR, burning CDRs and printing stuff off on the printer, and everyone on my dorm floor, you know, giving everybody a copy, and you know, always doing this stuff, but on a very grassroots, relationship-based level. So finally, I was living in Chicago for a while. I spent a couple years teaching English in Korea. And finally ended up coming back to the Quad Cities, not really sure what I was going to do. A lot of ideas about, you know, entrepreneurial ideas. Should I start a coffee shop with the coffee roasting? Should I had ideas about teaching English as a second language because of my experiences in Korea. But there was a friend of mine at my church, Marcus, who was our original bass player. And he said, hey, man, we gotta start a band. He had actually been listening to some songs that my sister wrote too. My sister's a very good songwriter. And he said, we need to take some of Leah's songs and turn them into, you know, full band songs. And he mentioned it a couple times. And at first I was kind of like, oh, yeah, that's a lot of work. But then, you know, he mentioned it enough times for me to say, all right, let's try this. So we got together and had one band practice with my sister and her husband. Well, they had a one-year-old or a two-year-old at the time. I can't remember if my nephew was one or two. But it ended up being too much for them, too much of a time commitment. So they actually had to drop out. But at that point, I kind of started getting excited about it even after the first practice. Actually, the very first practice we had as a band, we kind of solidified All I Need. All I Need is a song that is the first track on the album we just came out with. And it's a song my sister and I wrote together. But so that was when we had that first band practice. We kind of put together this little bluesy vocal part. We kind of put together, like, solidified the chords that we were going to be playing for that song. And, you know, we've gone through a lot of permutations of the band since then. We've changed our names, changed the name of the band a few times. But that's really how it all got started, is just a friend kind of nudging me and say, hey, let's do this.
Take the jump. Yeah. Let's listen to that, All I Need, Louis Knutson.
Ain't got no time dealing. ain't got a dollar bill to my name. I ain't got a dime. I ain't got a cent. No, but I got a lot, a whole lot of love that I haven't yet.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Louis Knutson, that was All I Need. That was kind of fun, kind of bluesy, just kind of cool. Morgan, Renee, you were with us. You were playing violin and little vocals on there.
Yeah, you saw us.
That was kind of cool. How did you get into this music?
Oh, music. Oh, I've been doing it most of my life. I have been told that I would be sitting there on the floor when I was a toddler singing along to, you know, like Teletubbies or something. And I've just never stopped singing or dancing or performing.
Part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Are you going to continue that, do you think, into your future?
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yes.
Yeah. To see what happens to you, to see where you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's sometimes it's a gift, but it's also sometimes a burden to have that talent.
I would do it if I have the choice. It's what I'm passionate about.
Right, right. What kind of music do you like? What kind of music are you interested in?
I enjoy a lot of classic rock. Honestly, my favorite genre would be like hair metal or what have I said before? Like Skid Row. Anyway, but I'm also into alternative music, and I have a pretty country voice, so I go with that sometimes.
All these different kinds.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting how it comes out. When I started off, I wanted to paint like Van Gogh, and I ended up painting like me. It's an interesting development how it goes. Louis, back to you. You were made this jump. You joined a band. You made a band. You were pushed into making a band. And, okay, so you're in a band, but does that mean you're a full-time musician? What was the jump for you?
Right. When we first started the band, I was still substitute teaching, or kind of on between substitute teaching and being a teacher's aide, and that was my income, more or less, while I was figuring out what I wanted to do. And that I really enjoyed it, and the reason I did that was because I had been teaching English in South Korea for a couple of years. Even though I didn't have any educational training or background necessarily, and I had just enjoyed it. I was working with third through sixth grade kids that most of them didn't speak a whole lot of English, but they were just fun. They were young, they were energetic, and seeing them learn and seeing things click sometimes was just a really neat thing that I think any teacher relates to a lot. So I was doing that in the Moline School District and a little bit in Silvis as well. But what ended up happening was, for one thing, it did give me a lot of admiration and respect for teachers who are all in it, not just substitutes or aides, but all in it, because what happened to me was I got burned out. In the morning, I would, even if I was an aide from, say, 8 to noon, I would get out at noon, have lunch, and just be really tired. And I just had to really sit down and be realistic with myself and say, okay, it looks like one of these things is going to take over, you know, because I didn't explain that well. So I would be tired, you know, by 1 in the afternoon, and I would have, you know, maybe I'd have the rest of the afternoon to work on music or do some booking or do some recording or what have you. But I just didn't have a lot of energy, either creative energy or sometimes even physically, you know, sometimes you're, you know, just it kind of drains you sometimes. And so so I looked at what was going on there saying, okay, you know, this thing I'm doing in the morning is helping me get by, helping me pay my bills. But if I really am honest with myself, if I compare teaching to music, recording, writing, performing, no doubt I love music more, and I'm just, that's what gets me excited. That's what will, you know, get me to wake up earlier or stay up later to finish a project or whatever. So, definitely solicited advice from friends. There was a good friend of mine in the area who's a starting musician, but actually has a background in business and an entrepreneur. And we sat down and had a few lunches, and he really had me do some mind mapping, you know, where I would really try to get more clarity on what do I want to do, how am I going to do it, how is it going to pay for my rent and food and gas and all that stuff. And which I appreciate so much, because on my own, and I think that's why I didn't make the leap before I did, is because I just didn't have that confidence. I didn't have someone coming alongside and saying, hey, if you want to do this, you can do this. You know, you have a certain amount of talent and passion for what you do, but, you know, you need to go all in and do it. So after having that realization that music was the thing I wanted to do, and after having some people in my life, family and close friends, who were very supportive and encouraging me in that direction, January, I decided, I kind of had planned this in advance, but I decided that January 1st of 2013, I was going to be done with, you know, I just didn't renew any teaching commitments for that year.
Golly, you're going to jump off the cliff.
Yeah. And so that's when it started, is the very beginning of 2013. And I wanted to have some goals, which is why I told, you know, I had the project of writing a song every week. And it was very interesting too. Very shortly after the January 1st date, I got an email from a friend who basically put me in touch with this music promotion company from Germany, which eventually led me to play a 3-week tour in Germany and in the Netherlands. So, but that's kind of how it came about.
Were you scared?
Yeah, I was. But here I am, still
here
doing
you
it.
Are, and you're still standing.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, Louis Knutson is with us. Morgan Renee and Jacob Salto will be coming up too. Time for a short break. Let's take one now, and we'll be right back after this gallery guide.
On exhibit around the WVIK listening area, in the Canage Gallery in the Galvin Fine Arts Center on the St. Ambrose University campus in Davenport through September 5th, the 10th annual Canage exhibition. This year's theme, Home. Hours are 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. At the Figge Art Museum on West 2nd Street in Davenport through September 7th, Innovators and Legends, Generations in Textiles and Fiber. Also through September 7th, Local Threads. Through September 14th, From Pencil to Printed Page, Arthur Geisert's Thunderstorm. Through November 2nd, Two Americans in Paris, Stuart Davis and Grant Wood. And through April, A Legacy for Iowa. Hours are 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Thursdays. At Midcoast at Center Station on River Drive in Moline through the end of September, drawings by Ann Kaufman and mixed media works by Isaias Mejia. Hours are 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday, 9 to 5 on Sunday. At Midcoast Gallery West on 2nd Avenue in Rock Island through the end of August, photography by Heidi Brandt and acrylics by Leanne Westcott. Hours are 11:30 to 5:30 Wednesday through Saturday. At the Bucktown Center for the Arts at 225 East 2nd Street in Davenport through the end of August, Oils by Stuart Roddy. Hours are Wednesday through Saturday from 11 to 6. At Quad City Arts Gallery at 1715 2nd Avenue in Rock Island through August 29th, Hang 10, acrylic paintings by Jacqueline Garlock and sculpture by Dean Kugler. Hours are Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 5, Saturday 11 to 5. At Quad City Arts at the airport in the Moline International Airport through the end of August, paintings by Roy Kasich and wood carvings by Bill Wolford. At the Quad City Botanical Center on 4th Avenue in Rock Island, through the end of August, paintings by Laura Goldman Weinberg and David Gregory. Hours are Monday through Saturday from 10 to 5, Sunday from noon to 5. At Roz Talks at 2108 3rd Avenue in Rock Island on continuing exhibit, Object Permanence, works by 20 local artists. Hours are 11 to 1 a.m., Tuesday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. on Sunday. At the Buchanan Center for the Arts on the Square in Monmouth through August 28th, D3 and F, works by Julie, Bill, and Amy Drabelbis, plus Ben Fairweather, hours 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, Saturdays 10 to 2. At the Muscatine Art Center at 1314 Mulberry Avenue in Muscatine through the end of August, wood carvings by Norman Bunn. Through January 25th, Railroads of Muscatine County, hours are Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 5, Thursday evenings from 7 to 9, Saturdays and Sundays 1 to 5. At the Dubuque Museum of Art at 701 Locust Street in Dubuque, through September 1st, Edward S. Curtis and Thomas Moran, the Grant Wood Gallery, also on continuing exhibit, hours are Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 10 to 5, Thursdays 10 to 7 p.m., Saturdays and Sundays 1 to 4. At the Cedar Rapids Museum of Art at 410 3rd Avenue in Cedar Rapids through September 7th, Carl Van Vechten, photographer to the stars. Through November 2nd, Marvin Cohn, On My Mind, The Ceramics of Dean Schwartz. And on continuing exhibit, Art in Roman Life, Grant Wood in Focus, and Maurizio Lazansky, Master Printmaker. Hours are Tuesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Thursdays 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., Sundays noon to 4. And that's a look at current exhibits around the WVIK listening area.
And we're back on Art Talks. Louis Knutson is with us, also Morgan Renee, who plays violin, and Jacob Salto, who's a trombone player with the band. Louis Knutson, his second album out, Nice Stuff. We heard a cut from it earlier. Louis, you took us through this leap of faith of going, okay, mind mapping, what do I want to do? How am I going to live? How am I going to support myself? And you stepped into this decision to be a full-time musician.
Yep.
And then very shortly you got an offer to go to Europe to do a three-week tour. How fun is that? It's like doors are opening for you. Did that happen to you? Doors open? And tell us about Europe.
There was a combination of doors opening and also going and opening the doors, you know what I mean? Because to be honest, I officially made the jump, you know, to full-time musician a year and a half ago. But before that, I had actually been playing music pretty regularly in the area. I'd been actually playing a lot of nursing homes and assisted living and memory care facilities, playing, you know, old Glenn Miller and Frank Sinatra and Nat King Cole and Bing Crosby kind of stuff, and really loving that. So that was starting to build some momentum, but ran into a little bit of a wall as far, you know, I couldn't do only that and survive as a musician. So I started just trying to play, you know, at a lot of places, playing open mics here and there, meeting other musicians, again, doing stuff with the band. But I guess the bread and butter of it for me right now is playing places like wineries and weddings, for sure. Weddings, you know, there have been a lot of times where I was just playing in a corner. I can give you, you know, I was playing at Cool Beans one time in Rock Island, and finished my set and took a break, and this lady just came up to me and said, "Hey, do you play weddings?" So I don't know if that's an open door or if it's probably a combination of, you know, getting out there and then the doors open, but you know, that's, I guess it's been a lot of that stuff is just play a lot, be visible, and also make phone calls, send emails to places that make sense. You know, I'm not going to try to get booked at the Mark or at the Metro in Chicago right now. I'd like to play there someday, but for now it's just about getting the kind of stuff that will, you know, help me grow in my career. And do the same thing for the band as well.
Do you have goals?
I do. My goal this year is to sell 1,000 CDs. So that's the goal, is just to distribute and have that as a major source of income. So that's what I work hard on. I drove to Iowa City on Monday night and sold a good number of CDs there while I was just playing the open mic. But for this year, I also have goals of, but a lot of, currently the goals are more what I need to do to build a broader fan base. And so playing gigs in Milwaukee and Madison and Chicago and Iowa City, Des Moines, Peoria, things like that. And also what I'm focusing on really hard now, and my main goals for the next few months, are finishing music videos, just because even though there's not a whole lot financially that can be gained from the video itself, there I've seen and read as far as music advice and music bloggers and stuff about the power of having a really good, sharp, professional, artistically done, good lighting, good sound music video. Hmm. and the power of helping that kind of boosting an album, you know. Hmm. So that's what I'm working on right now.
Hmm. Tell us about Europe.
Europe was quite an adventure. To be honest, it wasn't a huge money-making thing. It was probably more, more of a break-even kind of thing musically. But right in January of 2013, after I had made this big decision to do this full-time, I got an email from a friend, a longtime friend who does music in Chicago. He does music, but he's also a chemical engineer. He's a right brain, left brain kind of guy. And he had been living in Europe, came back to Ohio at that time, and had been invited to play a touring circuit for a music promotion company called Songs and Whispers, based out of Bremen, Germany. He had been invited to play his own music. Well, he has a wife and three kids and this intense research job with his day job, so he wasn't able to do it. So he passed it on to me. He said, "Would you be interested in doing this?" If I give them your name, then you might make it to the top of their list faster than you would just cold calling them. And so I said, "Yeah, I'd love to," you know. And so I did, and it was quite a process. It was in keeping with what I knew about the Germans, the fact that they were extremely organized and extremely early in getting all my promotional, in having me send all my promotional stuff. They had me send like an hour long radio show. Actually, they had me make my own radio hour long. I don't know what you, I would interview? Call it, just a segment. Yeah, like an explanation, talking through the songs. And so they had me do that. They have a flat. They call it the artist flat, and they have this going on year round. There's never a break. They have two artists per month playing for Songs and Whispers all over Bremen, Germany, with prearranged gigs. And so that's what I did. I got all this promotional stuff done, and I sent it into them, songs and videos and bios and radio program, and got my got my ticket and got a hard shell guitar case, because I didn't have one before then, and I thought that'd be a good idea. And I got over there and just played pretty much 3 weeks solid of gigs. There was another band that I toured with. They were called Jacante and the Molly All-Stars, and they were kind of a fusion of American and African blues. And so I got to know those guys real well, and also lived in the same artist flat with them. We're just kind of based out of this apartment, and you know, it's in the neighborhood. So we'd go shopping for groceries. I mean, we just lived there, you know. There's beds and shower and everything, but you know, you buy your own groceries and get your own coffee, and then you know, spend the morning practicing, getting ready, and sometimes just sleeping, because the gigs would go pretty late sometimes. And then in the afternoon, we would head out to the gig together in a SUV that we'd rented from Europe Car, the rental agency, and then we'd just head out, play the gig, and then come back. And the means that Songs and Whispers has they have a thing called passing the hat, you know, which we're all familiar with, and that was the way of kind of fundraising for helping us recoup our expenses. There were some times when, you know, I remember I played a whiskey tasting not too far outside of Bremen, and I don't know if it was the whiskey or just pure generosity, but I ended up making 400 euro. And this was a solo thing. I was just playing on my own this particular night. So that night alone really helped me recoup some of that plane ticket.
Maybe it was the music.
Yeah, let's hope. Yeah.
Let's listen to another one. This is All I Dream of You. This is a really sweet cut from your album.
that way. I don't know why. But when I saw you in that place between unconscious and awake, it stayed in my mind. Looked around not knowing where I was, how I got there I could not recall. Just saw this beautiful sight in the middle of my stayed with me all day long. I know it's 4 a.m. where you are. I'm under the sun, you're under the stars, and I was just wondering if you dream about. Such a long time to be so far away, and I've been thinking about you every day. So no matter how much sleep I lack, I'm gonna see you the first thing when I get.
And that was I Dream of You. Sweet, sweet cut. Louis Knutson is with us. Morgan Renee and Jacob Salto is with us also. Jacob, tell us a little bit about your music and how you came into it and how you came into the band.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I've been in band since fifth grade. I think I think I wanted to play the drums, and when we tried out for our instruments, everyone wanted to play the drums. Hmm. So they were telling everyone that they were doing like an okay job, like that they were doing okay at it when on drums, but on other instruments they would tell us, "Oh, that we're doing really awesome." So that they, and we, so I was one of the few that, you know, tried out for the. I play the trombone, and I was one of the few that tried out for the trombone, and the guy gave me that reviewed me wrote excellent on my paper, and in fifth grade, that made me feel good. So I said, "Well, trombone it is." So you know, so I've just been playing in symphony orchestra throughout junior high school, college, as well as jazz. Started jazz in junior high, high school, and jazz in college as well. So that's kind of how I got started with the trombone.
How did you get into this band?
Yeah, well, actually, I met Lewis at a show he was playing. I was seeing another friend of mine who was playing the show, and I really liked him. I thought it sounded great. I think it was just a solo gig at the time, and then a week later I saw him at a open mic night. And I think it was raining. I think for some reason there was just nobody was there. Normally it's pretty packed, but I heard him play, and he said, "Oh yeah, hey, I met you a week ago. Let me, you know, I'll play a couple songs, even though you're one of the only few that are here." And then we hung out after that, got to talking, and I think he just kind of said, "Hey, I think you should kind of join, see what's up."
How do you know things like that? How do you know if somebody should be in your band?
I don't know. I think it's just we were talking music, and we kind of like just went. I don't remember exactly what the topic of conversation was, but just by the way, he was talking about playing trombone and stuff. He was majoring in music in college, and so he just sounded like he was really serious about it. And I thought, you know, let's see how the chemistry is. So it sounded like he seemed like, you know, someone who'd be fun to play music with.
Yeah, and that's the way you tell. It's like I'm thinking of Lennon and McCartney talking to each other, going, "Oh, you know who he is. Well, why don't you join our band? Here we go." Well, marvelous music. Interesting group of folks here: Lewis Knutson, Jacob Salto, and Morgan Renee. Let's take a short break, and we'll be right back after this gallery guide.
On exhibit around the WVIK listening area. In the Canage Gallery in the Galvin Fine Arts Center on the St. Ambrose University campus in Davenport through September 5th, the 10th annual Canage exhibition. This year's theme, Home. Hours are 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. At the Figge Art Museum on West 2nd Street in Davenport through September 7th, Innovators and Legends, Generations in Textiles and Fiber. Also through September 7th, Local Threads. Through September 14th, From Pencil to Printed Page, Arthur Geisert's Thunderstorm. Through November 2nd, Two Americans in Paris, Stuart Davis and Grant Wood. And through April, A Legacy for Iowa. Hours are 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Thursdays. At Midcoast at Center Station on River Drive in Moline through the end of September, drawings by Ann Kaufman and mixed media works by Isaias Mejia. Hours are 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday, 9 to 5 on Sunday. At Midcoast Gallery West on 2nd Avenue in Rock Island through the end of August, photography by Heidi Brandt and acrylics by Leanne Westcott. Hours are 11:30 to 5:30 Wednesday through Saturday. At the Bucktown Center for the Arts at 225 East 2nd Street in Davenport through the end of August, Oils by Stuart Roddy. Hours are Wednesday through Saturday from 11 to 6. At Quad City Arts Gallery at 1715 2nd Avenue in Rock Island through August 29th, Hang 10, acrylic paintings by Jacqueline Garlock and sculpture by Dean Kugler. Hours are Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 5, Saturday 11 to 5. At Quad City Arts at the airport in the Moline International Airport through the end of August, paintings by Roy Kasich and wood carvings by Bill Wolford. At the Quad City Botanical Center on 4th Avenue in Rock Island, through the end of August, paintings by Laura Goldman Weinberg and David Gregory. Hours are Monday through Saturday from 10 to 5, Sunday from noon to 5. At the Buchanan Center for the Arts on the Square in Monmouth through August 28th, D3 and F, works by Julie, Bill, and Amy Drabelbis, plus Ben Fairweather, hours 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, Saturdays 10 to 2. At the Muscatine Art Center at 1314 Mulberry Avenue in Muscatine through the end of August, wood carvings by Norman Bunn. Through January 25th, Railroads of Muscatine County, hours are Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 5, Thursday evenings from 7 to 9, Saturdays and Sundays 1 to 5. At the Dubuque Museum of Art at 701 Locust Street in Dubuque, through September 1st, Edward S. Curtis and Thomas Moran, the Grant Wood Gallery, also on continuing exhibit, hours are Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 10 to 5, Thursdays 10 to 7 p.m., Saturdays and Sundays 1 to 4. At the Cedar Rapids Museum of Art at 410 3rd Avenue in Cedar Rapids through September 7th, Carl Van Vechten, photographer to the stars. Through November 2nd, Marvin Cohn on My Mind, The Ceramics of Dean Schwartz. And on continuing exhibit, Art in Roman Life, Grant Wood in Focus, and Maurizio Lazansky, Master Printmaker. Hours are Tuesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Thursdays 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., Sundays noon to 4. And that's a look at current exhibits around the WVIK listening area.
And we're back on Art Talks. Louis Knutson, Jacob Salto, and Morgan Rene are with us. This program and many, many previous programs going back over 2 years are available on our website, wvik.org. Click on the schedule button at the top of the page and scroll on down to Art Talks on Thursday nights at 7. Click on that and they will appear by the date, the name of the artist, and a brief description of what they do. And you can listen to them at your leisure. But back to writing and back to music and back to composing. As a visual artist, it's a different language that you're making, that all of these collections of notes together and how they go and how they play, and you're playing multiple instruments and you're listening to multiple layers of color, layers of sound. How does it work for you? How does it work, Louis, for you to compose? I mean, you had the goal of writing a song a week. That's like a painting a week. I mean, that's a lot.
It was a lot, yeah. There were some because my goal was to, I called it New Song Saturday, and my goal was to have a new song written and finished and recorded on Saturday. And so there were a lot of Saturdays where I either spent all day Saturday, you know, scrambling to finish and then record, or some Saturday nights where I was just like, all right, let's get, you know, because life happens, and I wasn't getting paid to write songs, but I was getting paid to play some other gigs. And so it was just, but I for the most part stuck to it. And I guess the thing that enables me to keep in the habit of writing songs is that I save material. Like a lot of people do, I write stuff down. I keep scraps of paper. You know, I have
verses or phrases.
Sometimes just a word. Sometimes just a phrase. Sometimes, you know, a whole song. You know, or a couple of verses and a chorus. I guess a lot of times it starts with a chorus. You know, you have a chorus that's the main idea, and then you kind of write verses around it. That's how it works for me sometimes. A lot of times, but I keep everything, and I try to organize it pretty well. So even if I have scraps of paper lying around, I'll take a day or take an afternoon, and I'll actually type all those into a Word document, and that way I've got a Word document with a lot of different lyrical ideas, and then I do the same thing with audio ideas. I used to have a tape recorder, and I would go nuts I would number tapes into the 20s and 30s, you know, and then keep a log of what was where. Well, now I've just got this handy dandy little field recorder that records very, very high quality audio, and also my phone. A lot of times when I don't have the field recorder, I use my smartphone. And so I record stuff. I have an idea. I'm driving on the highway. I'm waiting in the doctor's office. If I have an idea, I whistle it, or, you know, I look like a crazy person, I guess, but if someone sees me. But I save everything. And then I do the same thing. I put those files into my computer. I listen to them, and then I write a brief. I name the file a brief description of what it is. Bluesy sounding vocal riff. You know, soft piano idea. And I've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these things. And so when I start writing a song, and the thing is, though, in the midst of all that organization, I know at this point for me as an artist that I need to be able to cut myself loose from all of that and not be all, because what used to happen is I would think, oh, I've got all this old material. I have to use it. I have to use all the old stuff and make sure that nothing goes to waste before I start anything new. The truth is, as I'm sure you know, and any artist, is that sometimes the inspiration that comes right now is the very best that you can get. So I always keep a very open attitude toward how inspiration comes. Having said that, even if I do have some kind of, you know, idea right now, it just came into my mind. I wrote a whole song, awesome. I'll go through those lyrical ideas, because maybe I had a great musical idea, but I don't have any lyrics. So I'll go through that Word document and I'll look for something that strikes me. And a lot of times I find, oh, that goes really well with that. Those 10 words go really, really well with this little vocal riff idea where I didn't have anything, or vice versa. I wrote a bunch of words. I go through those MP3s and I say, oh, bluesy piano thing. Maybe I should, and I name them very, you know, it's just so I can remember. It doesn't have to be anything professional, you know, but it'd be like wah, wah, wah or something like that. That could be the file name. But anyway, it's just that I've got all that stuff in place so that I can always be writing. And that's what makes it streamlines the process so that I can have an idea right now, but I've always got this extra stuff that I can add.
Nice, nice. That's your process. How interesting, how interesting. So what's it like playing music? What's it like being part of a band, Renee?
Well, I really think it's comfortable for me. It's also very exhilarating, especially live, when we have a full band performance. Being able to have the interaction with the audience and each other on stage, like, you know, Lewis and I were talking the other day how we can communicate on stage just with a look, or just by knowing each other and knowing what we're gonna do, or if Jacob plays something different that he's never done in practice and it was good, I'm like, you know, it just makes me laugh inside, or just it is cool to have everything come together. And just be able, it's always growing.
Nicely said. Good. We're like zooming through the time here. We're coming to the end. We have one more. You want to play, should we play the dance thing?
Sure.
Let's do. Lewis Knudsen.
Just 'cause you can. Ba 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 da ba.
And we're listening listening to the music of Louis Knutz and his band. Jacob Salto is with us. Morgan Renee is also with us. LewisKnudsen.com, K-N-U-D-S-E-N, Lewis, L-E-W-I-S.com. And Lewis, you have a gig coming up soon?
Yes, we do. We've got the whole band is playing on August 22nd. It's a Friday at the Black Hawk Room in Moline. It's the Black Hawk Room is connected to the Beer Stube, so it's just outside the beer garden there, and it's a nice little venue that they have.
I see, and you're at Mama Compton's frequently?
Yes, I play lunch hours there on Thursdays.
Oh, nice.
As well as lunch hours at the River Music Experience, the pizza place on Mondays.
Oh, good. Oh, at Fopo's. That little corner stage. I've seen a lot of bands on that corner stage. That's a nice gig. You have a good audience. People can see you, and it's constantly rotating. Mm-hmm. I foresee great things for you. I see wonderful things coming up for you. I think I like your music. I like the sound of it. I like a lot of the music that you made in last year in 13 too. I went through all of those cuts. Lewis and Jacob, what advice do you have for young artists? What for young musicians? What can you tell them? What can you suggest?
I guess take it seriously and see if it's something you really want to are interested in doing. I see a lot of people that only find themselves at a point in life where they desire to do some kind of art, whether it be visual arts or, you know, some kind of career in art or music, but there are other things, there's another situation in their life that keeps them from doing that, whether it be, you know, heavy debt or just busyness with other things. I encourage people to take the time to make your mistakes and really produce, you know, stuff when you're young and see if it's something that you want to do.
Nice. And Jacob?
I would say listen to the music that you really enjoy. Listen to music that you like to play and practice. So people don't understand how much practice goes into playing, and being serious about it doesn't always mean you're just, you know, recording things or just playing gigs or just trying to get together with musicians. A lot of it's practice.
Excellent. Well said. Louis Knudsen, best of luck to you. You're a terrific band. Jacob, thanks for joining us. And Morgan Renee also. LewisKnudsen.com. That's it for us today on Art Talks. Many thanks to our guests. Many thanks to our maestro of sound, Dave Garner. As always, I'm Bruce Carter. Until next week, have a great night and a fine tomorrow. See you soon, Laura.
Support for Art Talks comes from the Blue Cat Brew Pub, located in the district of Rock Island, serving food and handcrafted ales and lagers. And from the Bucktown Center for the Arts at 225 East 2nd Street in downtown Davenport, with 16 independent studios and galleries offering original fine art and gift ideas in one location. Information is at bucktownarts.com.